There are 24 hours in a day. I think we all know that. In a week, there's 168 hours. In a year, there's 8,760 hours. What do we do with the time that we have? 8,760 hours in a year. That sounds like a lot of hours. And yet for so many of us, our experience is that it seems like we just don't have enough time to do the things we want to do or do the things that we feel like we need to do. How do we use our time? On Sunday mornings, we've been talking about some of the tools that we have for spiritual growth. Some things that we have that we can use to build relationship with God. And this morning, the one that I want us to consider is that we can spend time with one another. In previous weeks, we've talked about the importance of Scripture, of prayer. Something else that we have that is really important to building relationship with God is building relationship with each other. On Sunday mornings, we've been having some great discussions about all the passages, or not all, but many of the passages in the New Testament dealing with one another. Love one another, encourage one another, serve one another, all of these one another's. And when we think about those one another's, it really involves having to spend some time with one another, having to devote some time with one another in order to do those things. And so this morning, I want us to think a bit about time with one another and the importance of that as we think about spiritual growth and another thing that we have in the toolbox, if we want to try to use that metaphor. But when we think about the Bible, really so much of it is about being with one another. Even God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There's this relationship of Father, Son, and Spirit. In the garden, it's said that it's not good for man to be alone. Think about Noah and the ark. Noah doesn't get on the ark by himself, which I think actually is a important aspect of all of that, that he's not on the ark alone. They're with one another on the ark. And as we move through the Scriptures, we see Moses and Aaron, Joshua and Caleb, Jonathan and David, Ruth and Naomi, Jesus and the disciples, James and John, James, John, and Peter. And then we have Paul, and there's Paul and Timothy, there's Paul and Titus, there's Paul and Barnabas, Aquila and Priscilla. So much about togetherness and the importance of that for what these people are going through, what their experience is at that time. Today we're going to be thinking about the book of Acts. And specifically those verses we just read out of the book of Acts. The book of Acts is really about the forming of God's new covenant people. And there's a wide variety of backgrounds that are part of God's new covenant people that we have in the book of Acts. And so the verses we're going to look at this morning are from Acts chapter 4. There's some other places we could go that talk about how some of the early Christians interact with one another and spend time with one another. But for our purposes, we're going to stay in Acts chapter 4 and then just a little bit at the beginning of Acts chapter 5. And as we think about time with one another, I want us to try to highlight seven things that are connected to time with one another, or come about as a result of time with one another, that we have at the end of Acts 4 and the beginning of chapter 5. The first of those is that time with one another is time with those who believe. Time with one another is time with other believers. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 32, "And the congregation of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and not one of them claimed that anything belonging to him was his own, but all things were common property to them." This is a group, which is really, in this instance, what the word in this translation, congregation, means. It's a group. It's a group of people. What is this group? What is it that has drawn this group together? It's that these are those who believed. These are the people of the resurrection. These are the people that have believed that Jesus is the Messiah, that are Christians. And as we think about our time with one another, this group here this morning, what is it that has drawn us together? It's not just that we happen to all live in the same area, or that we're all interested in the same things, or have the same personality, or, you know, that we've gathered for some sort of civic function or something like that. It's that those of us that are Christians that have come here this morning, we are those who have believed. The beliefs that we have impact our actions. Really, any time that we believe something, it's going to then influence behavior in some way, or it ought to. Even something as simple as somebody believes that a Dodge truck is the best truck. Well, there's probably going to be some actions or some behaviors that go along with that belief. You're at some pitch-in meal and you believe that the apple pie is the best dessert. Probably going to be some action or a behavior that goes along with that belief. How much more so if we believe that Jesus was crucified and then rose from the dead? There's action, there's behavior that goes with belief. When it talks about those who believed, it's not just those who, you know, in their minds think something. This is those who, as we're going to see as we read through this, also have actions in common. They have behaviors in common that flow out of this belief. So the first thing is time with one another. It's time with those who believe. And that ought to be something that we really cherish and that we value. That we want to be with one another this morning, but also at other times that we're able to be with one another. In this building or outside of the building, because we know time with one another is time with those who believe. A second thing we see here is that time with one another is a time of unity, a time of being united. It says that those who believed were of one heart and soul. When we think about our world, there is so much division, so much fighting, so much discord. And what the church is intended to be is something that looks different from the world around it. And one of those things being the unity that exists. Because we are a different sort of people within the larger world. I remember a sociology class at high school. It was a new class that was being offered. I think it was my senior year. Sociology. And so I signed up for this new class, usually if a class was new, it wasn't very well organized, and maybe there wasn't a lot of work with it. And but it was a new class, something a teacher hadn't taught before. And so, sociology class. And what sociology was, at least in this class, was the study of different cultures and different people groups. And one of the things I remember from that stands out to me is we talked about the idea of a subculture. That within a larger culture, you then have little subcultures that are kind of like a smaller group of people within the bigger group of people. And the example that was used in the class was of bikers. Or the idea of the motorcycle gang, that kind of a thing. That it's a subculture within a bigger culture. There's some different ways of doing things. There's sometimes a dress associated with it. If you're out driving and there's somebody on a Harley and they pass somebody else on a Harley, I don't think I've ever seen a time where there wasn't a wave or a nodding of the head or something to express, you know, I'm in this group, I know you're in that group too, we've got that in common, we share some things, that sort of a thing. And really when you look at the language in the New Testament used about the church, it's what today some people would call a subculture. It's a group within a bigger group that does things a little bit differently, has some different views on some things, has maybe a distinct way of speaking and of acting, of behaving. And a big part of what is to make us different is the idea that we are a people of one heart and soul. In a world of so much division and so much fighting, we're different. We are the strangers. We're the pilgrims. We're the sojourners, the aliens, all that language that's used. And a big part of that is that we are of one heart and one soul. From what I understand, this language in some ancient writings of one heart, soul, is also used of friendship. We today have expressions like a kindred spirit. Or in a more romantic context, the idea of a soulmate. That sort of a thing. These were people who believed in the early churches, but I really believe they also liked being with one another. They liked being around one another. They were friends with one another. Time with one another is time with those who believe. It's a time of being unified. It's also, third, a time of hospitality. As we look at the last part of verse 32, not one of them claimed that anything belonging to him was his own, but all things were common property to them. We have an expression in our times of make yourself at home. Somebody comes over, you say, make yourself at home. What's mine is yours. The Spanish expression, we would translate it as my house is your house. It says among these early Christians, they didn't claim that anything belonging to them was their own, but that it was common to all of them. They're all family. They're family, they're friends. What's mine is yours. The idea of hospitality really extends beyond just having somebody over for a meal or going out to eat or that kind of a thing. It really has to do with the idea of openness or of a making room for, making a space for. We can be hospitable even in our time together at worship together? Do we make room for one another? And not just physically letting somebody sit down or that sort of a thing, but do we make a space for one another? Do we make room for one another? To be comfortable with one another, to share with one another. As we read through Acts, we're going to see that the situation in here in chapter 4 is not always the situation. The church does encounter some roadblocks and some barriers and some difficulties where this isn't always the case. And some conflicts that have to be resolved and worked through, and patience and those sorts of things. But here in Acts 4, we see that this mentality of togetherness, of making space for one another, room for one another, taking care of one another. So time with one another here was a time of being with believers, being unified, a time of hospitality. It's also a time of being people of the resurrection. It speaks in verse 33 of the apostles with great power giving testimony to the resurrection. This, it would seem, is a reference to the apostles' teaching, their preaching, the signs, the miracles that accompanied that. These were people of the resurrection. We today are not apostles who are going to go out and preach accompanied by great signs. But we see here the core of who they are was that they were people about the resurrection. These were resurrection people. And when you think about that word testimony, or some translations will have the word witness, those are courtroom kinds of words. Words of proof, really. We aren't eyewitnesses to the resurrection. But there is an aspect of which we are supposed to be people who are witnesses of resurrection. If we've been raised in baptism, if we've been resurrected in that way, raised to walk a new life, our whole life, our whole way of being is really to be a testimony to the truth of the resurrection. The power of the gospel, that it's changed me. It's continually changing me. And that's what we see with these early Christians. So time with other believers, or with one another, is time with believers, time of unity, time of hospitality, time with people who are people of the resurrection. It's also a time of generosity. Time with one another should be a time of generosity. If we move on to verses 34 and 35, there was not a needy person among them, for all who were owners of land or houses would sell them and bring the proceeds of the sales and lay them at the apostles' feet. And they would be distributed to each to the extent that any had need. Speaking about what the Christians are doing for other Christians, those who are part of their family, the family of God, there's three things it says here that, and we're going to see these repeat themselves as we read down a little bit, but it says that they would sell, they would bring, and they would lay. Those who had land or houses would sell, would bring the proceeds, and would lay it at the apostles' feet. And why are they doing this? So that those among them who were in need would be taken care of. So that the family would be provided for. We see this example of generosity. Think about the great generosity with this. There's other Christians in need. Christians of our group that are in need. What are we going to do? Well, I've got some land I could sell off. I've got a house I could sell. At least to me, that's very convicting. Because I don't necessarily naturally think that way. There's some among our number that need something. What are we going to do? And we see these great examples of generosity, of selling, of bringing, of laying. Time with one another can be a time to be generous. The next thing, as we look at the next verses, is it's a time for us individually to practice our faith. Because next in this reading, we're introduced to a particular individual who's doing this very thing, who we know as Barnabas. And Barnabas here is introduced as a particular individual who's practicing this generosity. And if you notice those previous action words of sell, bring, and lay, Barnabas is now one of those who's doing this. It says that he owned a tract of land, so he sold it. He brought the money, and he laid it at the apostles' feet. Time with one another is a time of practicing our faith, putting our beliefs into action. And literally, we do have to practice our faith. As we think about all the one another's, that's a practicing of our faith. We have to practice loving one another. And with most things that we practice, we don't always get it right the first time around, or get it right every time. We have to practice serving one another. And we may not get it just right every time. We have to practice being hospitable with one another. We have to practice being generous with one another. And here is Barnabas, who's a great example of somebody who's not afraid to practice his faith. He's highlighted here as an individual doing this. He sold, he brought, and he laid it at the apostles' feet. As we think about time with one another as a way to grow spiritually, we've seen that it's time of being with other believers, a time of unity, time of hospitality, time of talking about resurrection, time of generosity, time to practice our faith. And then the last thing I want us to think about this morning is that it can also be a time where there's some temptation. As we move into chapter 5, it says, but after all these good things that their time with one another has been, it now says, but. And it's a contrast, it's a shift. We see Barnabas and individuals like him, but a man named Ananias, with his wife Sapphira, sold a piece of property and kept back some of the proceeds for himself with his wife's full knowledge. And bringing a portion of it, he laid it at the apostles' feet. Those same three words are used here. Ananias and Sapphira, they sold, they've brought, they've laid. But there's also a couple of words that are different. It also says that they kept. And they brought only a portion. And as we read through the rest of Acts chapter 5, we get the impression that they're being dishonest about this. They're seeking their own glory, their own recognition. They're not really doing this the way everybody else has been doing it. And it seems that for them, they've given into this temptation. And it really is a good reminder for all of us that of all of these great things that time with one another is, there also exists the possibility that time with one another can also tempt us in certain ways. It can tempt us to want to receive recognition, to receive our own glory, to receive accolades, so that everybody might look at us and say, oh, look how generous they are. Look at what they did. Look how good they are at this or at that. And with all the blessings that exist of being together, we also do need to remember that it can bring temptation. And to be on guard against that temptation. One of the great things God has given us in being able to build relationship with Him is being able to build relationship with one another. We have Scripture, we have prayer, we also have time with one another that we shouldn't overlook. I appreciate your attention this morning, for your time of being with one another in our worship today. If you are here this morning and you're not a Christian, you're not part of the family of God in that way, then we always have this time set aside that you can begin that journey. You can make the first step of believing and confessing, being baptized, deciding to turn away from old ways and turn toward God and live a new life. Having your sins forgiven, having that fresh start. If we can help you with that, we would love to do so. Or if there's anything else that we can help you with while we're still together this morning, please let that be known as we stand and sing.